Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska and Cara on Two Sugars.
Of the day to you all. Great to have your company this Wednesday afternoon. Hey, shut out all that hustle and bustle. Take 25. Pour yourself a cuppa. Put your feet up and relax. Join the conversation with Mariska and Cara. You're listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM.
Somewhere deep inside, something's got a hold on. And it's pushing me aside. See it stretch on forever. And I know I'm right. For the first time in my life, that's why I tell you, you better be home. Stripping back the coats of lies and deception. Back to nothingness, like a week in the desert.
Great track from our very own Crowded House, Better Be Home Soon. And we are sticking around New Zealand because, you know, with Cara and me, well, living in New Zealand in different places, and we're in different homes and different cities now. Now, if you remember last week, Cara was going to join the Newcomers Club down in Oamaru, and she couldn't even figure out who was who. So, Cara, how did you figure out in the pub with a glass of wine in your hand who was who?
Well, I did the really stupid thing that we all do first, and I texted Alex and said, "Help, I'm Nigel Nomate." How he was going to help me, I don't know. But of course, once I had my phone out, the brainwave came, "I know, I'll text the convener." And so I did. And she's texted back saying she was at the bar and wearing a black jacket, so I went and found her, and she was just lovely. But she said to me, "You know, you could have asked the bar staff." And I said, "Yeah, but I didn't know if they knew what Newcomers was either."
Funny?
Where are the Newcomers? I might have got it looked like I had five heads.
Isn't that fantastic? Here's the Newcomers Club meeting in the pub.
Yeah. But they do all sorts. They do book clubs and walking groups and coffee groups and games nights and, you know, just lots and lots of different things. Every so often somebody will organise a bus to, you know, tour to Timaru or go look at Moeraki boulders or...
Hey, those are those round boulders, aren't they?
Yes.
Are they concretions? Yeah. Are they concretions? Are they called concretions?
I don't know.
They're pretty impressive, aren't they?
They are impressive, but we went out on a blustery cold day without any jackets and the dog. And I need to discover lots and lots and lots of tourists, busloads of them.
Wow.
And the dog, of course, couldn't make his way down the steps. He's too old, so we had to carry him. So we looked ridiculous carrying this sort of border collie. He was wriggling in disdain and got down there and, had a go. But we will go up and probably pick a quieter time of year where we can probably spend some time and not be in the way of everyone else's photos. You know, there's definitely huge tourism contingent coming through and that's really exciting for the town.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as you're talking about that, I suppose in a big city they just get lost and you don't see them anyway because there's just so many people around. But they may be a little bit more obvious there with a smaller population.
Yes, and because they congregate and they've got cameras. And so you go down to the Victorian precinct and on any given day you'll see groups of people taking photos of the steampunk headquarters and the old buildings and even Scott's Brewery or the whiskey bar. And you know, locals aren't out there taking shots of it, so you can be pretty sure that, yep, you've got some tourists on your hands. And, interesting.
I know. I'm going to get some first-hand information here. It's been quite a while since I have been down there. And, I mean, this is how long ago it was. Those buildings, the old precinct, were, I think, pretty well empty and run down. So I understand, and here where you can fill me in, is they're actually all done up and full of shops and things now?
Yeah, so not all of them have been done up, but certainly most of them have. And what they've created is some really interesting spaces. So, you know, you've got, you know, your shop that's selling, you know, calf skins and winter puffer jackets and, you know, buzzy bees. And then you've got the limestone sculptor, you know, who's actually carving and you can buy his carvings. And they do this cool thing where anything that's sold and yet to be sent has the country of the buyer. So as you walk in, you can see all these
things. Oh, that's interesting,
carvings.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this one's a, you know, sold Australia, sold Canada, sold, you know, wherever. And you go through and you can see the carver there, and he's got a sign above his head that answers all the obvious questions so that you don't interrupt him. So it says, yes, I've been doing it for 30 years. Yes, the stone is treated afterwards.
That's a clever idea.
Yeah, it's cute. It's really cute. But there's a wonderful secondhand bookshop in there called Slightly Foxed, with, you know, just literally the floors creak as you walk in. They're that old. There's a wonderful emporium, is the best word I can use, called Oasis, and they have furniture and books and knickknacks and all, you know, sorts of antiquities and interesting things from around the world. And you know, there's the ice cream shop down there where an Omaruvian decided, in fact, I think he's actually originally from Auckland, but he's local now because
he's been there for more than 40 years.
Well, I think it's because he's put them on the map, you see, because he makes sugar-free, diabetic-friendly ice cream and ice blocks designed for dogs.
Oh. Well, that's a bit novel, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah. And so there's, you know, the whiskey bar and the Victorian textile emporium and lots of galleries in those spaces and even more coming. And they're right in the sort of almost launching stages of a new Victorian it's hard to describe what that will be, but it's a kind of like a Victorian experience. So you can go in and you can see what Victorian living would have been like and kind of, you know, wander around Victorian-esque shops.
Yeah.
and so on. So that, you know, it's a little bit like a living museum, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and it's, I think that's a huge a plus for Oamaru, that whole precinct there. And it was probably lucky it was saved, because, you know, it was kind of, I think when we were down there, on the edge of being demolished or actually saved. And when you think of it, mm-hmm. so, I mean, you haven't been down there obviously for that long, but where we think of yeah. Auckland as the city of sails, we think of Wellington as having culture, you know, the arts.
Yes.
How would
yes.
you describe Oamaru in that kind of space?
It's like a slightly smaller, a little bit more parochial Wellington is probably the best way to put it. It's not, it doesn't feel like a commercial city like Auckland does. But, you know, this is a town, because those old buildings are there, that it's got an opera house, you know, and they bring shows through regularly. So it's got that kind of culture.
Why is an opera, as in operas?
Well, this week we've got a tribute band that's Midnight Oil and amongst other things, for example, that's in. We get, you know, all those sort of shows that you sort of hear about in Auckland but probably don't go to terribly much.
Yeah.
So live plays, you know, smaller comedy acts. But there seems to be something going on, at least something every week. There's a little, you know, movie theatre, but the gallery factor is amazing. There's a lot of creative artists around here. A lot of antiques and collectibles, which is great, you know, rummaging. Lots of op shops and things like that too. So it's sort of not necessarily big dollar spending. I get the sense that if you want to go and buy something high end, you're probably ticking off to Timaru or Dunedin.
Christchurch. Isn't that interesting? I always thought Timaru was a wee bit smaller, but I've obviously got that mixed up.
And lots of people do. A friend down here was saying that when she first moved here, they went through Timaru and she said, oh, I thought this was Oamaru.
Yeah.
And their man said, no, it's Timaru.
So that's interesting. So that's obviously, you know, as you're describing Oamaru, isn't it interesting? I'm so used to saying Oamaru, and I know the correct pronunciation. You know, you meant to pronounce Oamaru. Just yeah,
yes.
Sometimes it slips out there. That through that whole creative, that must be a real pull with the tourists as well. That, you know, with the galleries and, you know, I mean, yeah. Isn't that amazing? You've got the galleries, you've got the penguins, you've got nature. You've got a bit yeah. of everything there.
Oh, look, absolutely. And the amazing thing to me is that if you head sort of inland from, because Oamaru is obviously on the coast, and you start to head inland, you go up towards the lakes, and that's where people go spend their summer holidays in the way that, you know, Aucklanders fleck, you know.
To flee Auckland, London. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we go to Coromandel or we go up north, you know, typically, but here they go to the lakes. And even that's different. Locals go up the night before the campsites open to secure their spaces.
Oh, my goodness me.
Yeah, you can camp for a night, but you can also camp for a season. So some families have been going to the same spot on the same campsites for 50 years.
Wow.
You know? And so there's even been apparently the odd brawl as fights have broken out over campsites.
And that could only happen in a small place. Let's just take a quick break, and we'll leave the brawling behind, but Cara will be back to tell us about a whole lot more gossip.
I'm not afraid to die.
Conversations Over Coffee on 104.6 Planet FM.
Another great New Zealand song, and they're from the Swingers, Counting the Beat. And we are counting the beat, and we all know that maybe the Auckland beat is a little bit faster than Oamaru, but I can imagine you're finding your beat down there, Cara.
Oh, look, absolutely. And the interesting thing to me is that there's so many really smart, intelligent, forward-thinking people. The brawling at campsites at the beginning of the season's quite out of character. People here are really passionate, but they're also eminently sensible. So there's been a few kind of squabbles, I suppose, around things like, you know, as you go into sort of more central Otago from here, it's just the most amazing landscape of huge rolling hills and what was traditionally very brown rolling hills at this time of year. And there's a lot more green out there, and there's some scrapping over how water's being used, as there is all over New Zealand and the state of the waterways. And somebody decided that they'd go out and wreck one particular farmer's irrigation equipment, which was to the tunes of, you know, tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a bit of argy-bargy in the social media, and then the farmer said, hey, why don't you come and talk to me? I'll have an open house. Let's air the grievances and see what resolution we can come to.
Wow.
That's what I mean.
You wouldn't get that up
here. The passion that makes... it wouldn't resolve itself like that as easily, I think. But here, I guess, people are, you know, a bit more reliant on each other, and it's because it's small, it's not faceless. You know, if somebody's wrecking somebody else's stuff, then your chances are you know who they are, you know who their parents are. So you can't sort of hide behind the anonymity of social media in quite the same way. Although I'm certain that element will be everywhere. Passionate but eminently sensible, I think, is possibly a good way of saying, you know, the people I've met certainly fall into that category.
I don't know how you're going to get on down there then. I'm not sure that our Cara is that sensible.
Well, that's right. But I've got to say there's a fair share of flakes too.
So in
the kindest possible way.
Yeah. So in regards to business, obviously, you know, for you, that is something that you had to think about through the big move, and anybody does. Alex is settled and has that security of the job down there, it always, you know, kind of thinks, well, the other partner or, you know, the rest of the family, what happens to them? And so what's that journey looking like, or have you maybe not started that journey yet?
Well, I started, and the reality for the job market in Oamaru, like lots of regional parts of New Zealand, is it's really hard. People do jobs that they can get as opposed to jobs that they necessarily want.
Yeah.
And, you know, Alex has said to me, almost everybody's down here has worked at the meatworks, or one or other of them, at some point. I'm not saying that working at the meatworks isn't a good job, but it kind of, you know, if you can imagine that somebody who's an event manager, somebody who's an administrator, somebody who's a mechanic, and they've probably all cycled through the meatworks, it gives you a kind of a perspective on, you know, having a job is really important.
Yeah.
And getting one, you kind of hold on to the one you've got because you don't know where the next one will come from. You know, people in Oamaru are really gutted for what's happening in Dunedin with Cadbury's.
Oh, that's crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's over 300 jobs, not including contractors. And so having a job is a very important part of being able to live and sustain your life here.
Yeah.
And for me, it's a bit different because I've been a freelancer for so long. I'm used to the peaks and the troughs. And I know I have got to go and create my own work. And, you know, so this is me starting over, but starting over in a way that's familiar. It's a new place, but I still do what I do, and words are still useful for people. But I think without that kind of freelancing mindset and skill set, I'd be feeling really panicked. Because there really are very few jobs in this space. And, you know, jobs in any space. are difficult to get.
And that's interesting. As you say, you know, maybe that's the different mindset between a big city and a small city, irrelevant where you are around the world, but that more opportunities and opportunities to be a little bit more innovative in a big city, where your small cities are, you know, that there are less opportunities. And so, yeah, interesting. So you're kind of put into a place where you have to do what you can get because that's survival.
And I think that's why people move to bigger cities, is because the churn makes it feel like there's more and more opportunities as people move in and out of jobs. So, you know, somebody, a youth sitting in Mount Wellington opens the, you know, a window on their computer and looks at SEEK, and they might see, you know, 450 jobs, and it feels like a lot of opportunity. Down here, you might see 4 jobs.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like a lot of opportunity. But here's the trick. The reality that seems to me is that small business should be in the regions. You know, these people are smart, they're innovative, they're dedicated, they work hard, they've got fantastic service ethics. And so, actually, why would they want to continue their craft in the crazy of a big city?
Yeah, absolutely.
When they can actually live a life here.
Yeah.
But they've got to learn, I think, that it's finding a market, it's finding a way to make it, you know, attractive to your potential buyer. And those are the basics of selling and buying anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why the regions can't thrive.
Well, that's really interesting. And I think we're going to watch very closely to see Oamaru thrive, because Cara is now down there. And, you know, that's all we've actually got time for. And it's just been so interesting over the last couple of weeks to just hear about that shift, you know, from that big city to small city. And I'm sure you'll be joining us every so often to, yeah, just fill us in on how that journey is going. And, you know, we hope that we'll be hearing from you, you know, a couple more times throughout the year as you settle in.
Absolutely, and can't wait, because, you know, a part of me is torn. I want to keep this place a secret because I don't want it to become Auckland. But
yeah.
On the other hand, I'm like, hey, guys, you've got to get out of there and get here. This place is amazing.
And I tell you what, for all our listeners out there, maybe why don't you head down to Oamaru, go and have a look what it's like, and just stand on the main street and yell Cara, and she'll be there and she'll show you around. Now, that's all we've got time for. Next week, we'll actually be having Kim in the studio, who's going to take Cara's, well, she's not going to take Cara's seat because she can't be like Cara, but she will be joining us, and I'm sure Cara will be listening in, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Will do.
All right.
On both counts.
Cool. That's it. We'll see you the same time, same place next week.